This is episode 85 of the Android Buffet Podcast. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Once again, Monday night. It's March 5th, 2012, and we're once again here for another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
And I remembered.
I wasn't going to bring it up, so if you're reminding people, you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Oh, man.
Because I was going to let it go after last week.
Okay.
You know, I figure, you know, 1 week of ribbing you about it was enough. How was your week, Jerry?
I've had better weeks, but I've had worse weeks, so it's all right. I'm weighing in at 271 this week.
Have you been drinking water?
I don't drink water.
But water is essential for good health.
Okay. I don't drink water. I'm a Diet Coke person.
Why does that suddenly remind me of that movie Idiocracy, where they replaced all the water fountains with Gatorade?
Are you thinking about Idiocracy, or are you thinking about...
Idiocracy.
Wall-E?
No, Idiocracy.
Because in Wall-E, they didn't understand why the plants would grow because they were watering they weren't watering the plants with water. They were watering them with by large something or other.
No, that was Idiocracy. Did that happen in Wall-E also?
It did.
Okay, I forgot to see Wall-E.
Wall-E's awesome.
It looked good. I just haven't gotten to it. I have a whole pile. Anyway, a lot of interesting news this week. I kept busy. I had to scramble. I decided I wanted to make some meatballs. So I had to go out and buy a muffin tin.
Oh, who? What? Huh?
A muffin tin.
A muffin tin?
Yes.
What's a muffin tin?
No, it's two different words.
Sounds muffin. Like a town.
No, a muffin tin.
Oh, a muffin tin.
Yes.
Have you tried chocolate?
Why would you put chocolate in a meatball?
Well, because instead of having tin muffins, you could have chocolate muffins.
I don't want to make muffins. I want to make meatballs.
Meatballs?
Yes.
And a muffin tin?
Yes. Somebody gave me this idea. It's brilliant.
Wouldn't they be meat muffins?
Not if you put them in tomato sauce and on top of pasta.
On top of pasta. Seems like an easy way to make, pre-portioned meatloaf.
Okay, would you like to call it? Well, it's a mini muffin tin.
Ooh.
So it's, essentially little tiny. What I need is something with little tiny holes to hold my turkey meat. I found that turkey doesn't have the same consistency as beef.
That would make sense. One is a bird, one's a cow.
Yes, so I need something that will hold the shape.
Okay.
And I thought a muffin tin was a good idea. Somebody suggested it.
And it works for you?
We'll find out.
Have you done it?
We'll find out. It's been busy.
Oh, so you haven't actually done it yet. You got the tin, but we're still waiting on whether it works or not.
We'll have to defrost the turkey.
Oh.
Yeah. In other news, in a sad note of non-Android-related news, Ektachrome color reversal film has been killed.
That's because Kodak went belly up.
Yes. But don't you have fond memories of Ektachrome?
I don't even know what it is.
How about Kodachrome?
No.
You don't remember Kodachrome? You know, it gave us such nice bright colors.
Nope.
Gave us the greens of summers. Makes us think all the world's a sunny day.
Nope.
Okay, not a Simon and Garfunkel fan. Okay, moving along. But Ektachrome color reversal film would be a slide film.
Oh.
So, basically, with this, Fujifilm is now pretty much the only person making color reversal film. It's sort of sad, because this dovetails with what I've been doing lately. I sent all of the slides that my father took in the late 60s and early 70s to India to be scanned. So I am getting rid of all the Ektachrome and replacing it with digital.
Ah.
Yes.
Cool.
Well, I'll have to get back to you when I see what happens if my slides ever come back from India. And other news, if you are a friend of the mobile game Angry Birds, they're getting their very own theme park in Finland.
You think there's a lot of ducking involved because there's birds flying everywhere and you got to duck?
I don't know. I'm wondering what an Angry Birds theme park would look like.
Red? Lots of broken castles?
But no pigs?
Probably pigs. Well, I wonder if when you go, there's like pigs all over. And you you could, you know, when you show up, you get like a bunch of birds, like ball birds. And as you walk around the park, you get to throw the birds at the pigs because, you know, that would be cool.
I think I'll stay away from that theme park. And just to answer the question, no, my father is not Indian. That's where I sent his slides. I contracted with Scan Cafe, and they've outsourced their slide scanning to India. So my slides are somewhere in India right now. I hope they're enjoying them.
I'm sure they don't even look at them.
Okay.
They probably scan them to make sure that they look to see if there's any nakedness on them, and if there's not, they just carry on.
Yeah, well, what can you expect? A few rumors are coming out. The rumor is that not only is Google going to make a Jelly Bean Nexus tablet, but Asus is going to manufacture it. Most importantly, Asus has actually delivered ice cream sandwich on a tablet, which not everybody can say.
Yeah, they're, yep.
Gotta love them.
In related news, the motherboard that I bought was an Asus.
I'm a very big fan of Asus. I'm right now holding an Asus.
You know, it freaked me out when I went into the BIOS.
Why?
Because it wasn't, you know, blue and using the keyboard to move around. I had to use a mouse. It was all graphical and stuff.
It's a new world.
It is.
It's a brand new day.
There were like charts and graphs of temperatures and fan speeds.
Very fancy.
And it was freaking out because it was like, you don't have a CPU fan. Oh my God.
Well, I would hope in that case it would shut the computer down.
No.
Another rumor is that the project previously codenamed Majel is now called Assistant and set to be released in quarter four of 2012.
And what is this Majel thing?
Well, we mentioned it previously. It's supposed to be their answer to Siri. Google was of the opinion that you didn't want to have a conversation with your phone. You wanted your phone to do things.
Yeah.
So the basic reason it was called Majel is what they're trying to do is build the Star Trek computer, which was voiced by Majel Barrett, who was Gene Roddenberry's wife and also had a recurring role on both, well, pretty much I think she appeared on every Star Trek but Voyager and Enterprise. Unless you count the computer voices, in which case she appeared on pretty much everyone. So whenever you hear the computer, that's her. What? Majel or Majel Barrett?
Majel as a name for a computerized assistant. Good name.
Yeah, but the idea is if you've ever watched Star Trek, I assume many people who listen to the show have watched at some point or another, the idea is that the computer didn't, except for random show, episodes where it was relevant, the computer didn't have a personality. You weren't sitting there, you know, thanking the computer unless you were asking the computer to do things for you. And the computer was responding with information and doing them. Whereas the Siri philosophy is you want to have a conversation and you want your phone to have a personality. So they're doing it differently. Let's see, moving along. The EFF released its Mobile User Privacy Bill of Rights. So this is in response to all of the recent privacy discussions, including the Obama administration releasing a privacy working paper. So essentially there have been several major privacy issues, and basically the EFF is getting involved by saying what they think any mobile user should have the right to. So it's individual control of what data is collected, the ability to withdraw consent for additional data to be collected and for the existing data to be removed, the idea that developers should collect the minimum amount of data to provide their service and anonymize personal information, transparency in the data collection process, the agreement that data should only be used for the purpose agreed upon, the security of the data, and accountability for any sort of data breach. Your thoughts, Jerry?
I typically don't have thoughts on things the EFF does.
But they're such fun people.
Okay,
not a big fan of the EFF.
Not really.
Okay. Oh, and we've been reminded in the chat room that there's apparently an iPad announcement this Wednesday.
Yay.
We'll see what happens.
Wrong podcast, folks.
Yeah, but I'm sure we'll have something to say about it. Namely, the competition is the competition. It's not what we're interested in, but it does set a bar. After losing $850 to one guy who sued them for being inconsistent in what unlimited was, AT&T has decided that 3 gigabytes is the new unlimited.
That's just not right.
Apparently in January, the top 5% of AT&T unlimited data plan users use an average of over 50% more data than the top 5% of customers on tiered plans, which makes absolute sense because the people on unlimited plans have been with smartphones longer and probably are early adopters.
Yeah.
But basically what they've decided is you have as much data as you want, but after 3 gigabytes, they will make it come to you so slowly, you might as well not have more than 3 gigabytes. Whereas I tend to prefer the way that Verizon does it. I've never been throttled by Verizon. But Verizon's philosophy on throttling is much nicer. Once you reach a certain threshold, you're only throttled if you're using a certain amount of bandwidth at the specific tower you're at. So if there's congestion at that tower, they will slow you down first.
Makes perfect sense.
But if you move to another tower where it's empty, you won't be slowed down anymore.
Makes perfect sense.
And I'm in favor of that. That's network management. That's you're using more than your fair share. We can't accommodate you. We're going to slow you down.
But we're not going to slow you down arbitrarily. We're going to slow you down when we need to ensure a good experience for other people.
And once it's no longer an issue, we'll speed you back up again. We won't degrade your service any more than we need to.
I'm typically not a big Verizon fan, but I like it.
Well, AT&T has one other plan. Now, if it's not enough that they've decided that unlimited doesn't exist, but claiming it still exists, they have a new plan in its infancy to allow developers to pay for data. So if you develop a hot app, you could pay AT&T for all the data that your users are going to use.
What?
Exactly.
That's just, no.
Yes. No, I agree with you that it's a stupid idea, but horrible idea that I hope never happens, but that is exactly what they're doing.
Screw you, AT&T. Sorry.
Yes, well, it's just one of those days, Jerry. There's a lot to be angry about.
That's just not right.
And Agamotto in our chat room is actually mentioning that they could eliminate all of this bad PR by eliminating the use of the word unlimited. But the point is they promised these people that they would get to keep their unlimited plans. They're just redefining the definition of the word unlimited. It's see, this goes
unlimited.
Back.
It's just a slower unlimited. And
which makes it, how much more, if you're slowed down after 3 gigabytes to a complete crawl, how much more could you use after that?
Well,
this reminds me of the former President Clinton, who had this whole thing about redefining words in order to fit his agenda. It always depends on what the definition of the word is.
Okay, now, as I'm reading this AT&T article,
yes,
they're not going to force AT&T or developers to pay for data. They're going to allow it.
Well, the question I have to ask, isn't that double dipping? I'm paying for the data as a customer, and then you're telling me that the developer has to pay for the data as well?
Well, what would happen is if the developer volunteers to pay for the data, then that data does not get charged against the user.
Hope there are good terms. Basically, the only scenario I could see where this makes sense is for sites that do video, where they want to ensure that the video is delivered. But I don't, you know, I don't think that any small developer would be even considering using this.
I think it would largely depend on what the rates are. If it's, you know, $40 for 5 gig, who could afford that? I mean, especially if you've got a popular app and the idea of paying for the data is to make it more attractive because the data that the app uses is not being charged to the user. And that could just blow up in your face quick, fast, and in a hurry. I mean, I guess it's innovative, I guess. It's creative.
Yes, because, you know, we all know that we want our wireless companies to be creative in how they charge us.
Hmm.
And there's creativity for you. A few other news. Android has 300 million devices, 850,000 daily activations, and 450,000 apps. Big numbers.
Man, how does that work? 1 million people a day, almost.
Yeah. But the question
is, there's only so many people on the planet.
Well, I also don't know how they're tracking it. For example, I have the Transformer in front of me. Over the weekend, what little weekend I had, I did a factory reset because the ICS update has been giving me a few problems, and I thought that might help a bit. Well, you know, it's a new up, you know, change to a new version number. Sometimes you have to do a complete wipe.
Sure.
So I did that, and I'm wondering, does that count as an activation?
I don't think so, because the device had already been activated, so they already know about the device.
No, I'm just wondering how they consider the number. But either way, Android is so easy to use, I don't think it's necessarily surprising that there are that many people. It, you know, sheer numbers are technically surprising.
Surprises me.
Okay.
Because bear in mind that this number does not live in a vacuum. There are also probably a roughly equivalent number of iPhone or iOS activations daily.
I hope not. There are too many iPhone users out there as there.
1.5 million people are new devices are getting activated every day. Just wow.
Join the smartphone revolution. It's coming.
It's coming to the masses. It's going mainstream.
Yes. Hopefully it won't happen on Wednesday. The NSA has developed an Android phone that meets top secret criteria. So they have developed a phone that is secure enough that the government could use it.
Cool.
Oh, and Hillary Clinton is allowing people at the State Department to use Chrome.
Awesome.
I just thought that was interesting. HTC Dev has released 4 new APIs, one for Beats Audio, for their lock screen, mobile device management, and for their new Media Link. Elsewhere, somebody has ported Beats Audio to any rooted ROM, even if you don't have an HTC phone. So if you want the Beats, you can now get the Beats.
Cool.
And I think we sort of mentioned this last week a little, but I wanted to rehash it a bit because I know you're a big Sense fan. Mm-hmm. HTC is seeking to simplify Sense, offering more ICS and a less intrusive interface.
So I think that's kind of the right direction, right?
Yeah, well, I think it is too. It makes HTC much more compelling. A lot of people agree that the last year of HTC has not been very impressive.
This is true.
And
Samsung's kind of stolen the stage.
And before that, HTC had been very impressive in the Android market. Yeah, including, I know this guy who bought an Evo and started an Android podcast with another guy.
What a loser.
I don't know. I never met him. I just know him by reputation. But either way, HTC is looking to offer more ICS in their interface, make Sense less bloated, less intrusive, and make it actually enhance the offering, which is to a degree what Motorola has been trying to do. They realized this previously and started trying to scale down Blur, though I still think Blur is, they're not calling it Blur anymore. The skin, which is formerly known as Blur. they've tried to make it less intrusive as well, but it still has a few areas I wish they'd take out and go stock on. But, you know, they've added features. They had encryption before it was baked into Honeycomb. They've been offering encryption since Froyo, which is certainly a good feature. And a few things like that. More enterprise-y. In some app news, Roku has launched an official Android app. You have a Roku, Jerry?
No.
Then why? I can't do it.
I was hoping that we could use the Android as a Roku client. We could watch, stuff.
Not quite. It's a Roku control app.
Okay.
Go Launcher now has an HD beta, which is a tablet version of the Go Launcher, which is what I use on my phone right now. So I might give this a shot. Dolphin Browser HD has been updated and now includes Sonar. So you can control it by voice. I have to give this a shot. I haven't had a chance to test it.
I haven't tried. I didn't even realize that that was like an option. But I really have only just now started to use the gestures because there's no real good place to figure out what the friggin' gestures are.
I thought there was a help section for that.
Right, and it doesn't tell me what the gestures are. Sorry, a little rant.
Yeah. Just to pause for a moment, Akimoto has asked why the mobile device makers, why they don't quit coming out with a new model every week and focus on improving the experience on what they're currently selling. In defense of HTC, they've decided to do that. They've decided that they'll have one base model. They'll have a lower-end version and a higher-end version, and they're going to focus on improving the experience.
I think they have three versions, right?
Yeah, basically
the HTC One, and they've got the X, the V, and the S, I think.
Yeah, basically, but it's the same way that Ford, for example, decided to eliminate different car models, and instead they have different versions of the same model. They all use the same basic construction and chassis.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that instead of trying to produce 15 different phones, you're producing, three different versions of the same phone, one with, better processor, average processor, lower processor. So essentially it makes the commonality larger.
Cool.
As for a $500 remote control in your pocket, I think the idea with the Roku app is that you can use your phone as the remote control. The phone would theoretically be in your pocket anyway or nearby. Amazon MP3 has been updated again. Bug fixes on their previous version, which added a lot of features. And they brought back the search button. And Opera version 12 has been released with a completely upgraded core. What?
I was just thinking, Opera. Is that still a thing?
Excuse me. I remember I used to use Opera a lot. I had a flirtation with Opera.
Mm-hmm.
I went from Dolphin to Opera, back to Dolphin. I was on Firefox for a little while just to try it. And because I test things, I'm going to go and try Opera now that there's a new version.
Okay.
And why? Because I'm the co-host of an Android app show and we need apps.
Yep.
So I have to be fair.
Yep.
And Agamotto, if you happen to have an old cell phone, you could use it just as a remote control and you don't even need to use it as a phone. Isn't that a wonderful way to save space in the landfill? But this actually, just to pause for a moment, Jerry, this actually brings something up I was discussing today. Because of all these old photos I'm getting, I was thinking about digital photo frames.
Yes.
Now, the question is, would it make sense, rather than, let's say, getting a digital photo frame, getting one of those cheap Chinese Android tablets and having that run some sort of slideshow program instead?
Are the sure, why not?
No, I'm saying, is the digital photo frame on its way out?
I don't think so. If anything, they're probably going to get more common and larger.
Well, what I really want is something that I can hang on the wall that will just show the pictures over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of just having to hang up pictures. And the ones I have, they don't have wireless access. I'd like to be able to have the pictures sent to the device. I don't want to have to go and load up a card. So why not a cheap Android device that I just hang up somewhere? You know, stick in the back of a frame and put a power cord on. Agamotto is an interesting character, isn't he? I say that to see what his response is. Anyway, moving along, the Twitter app was updated again, adding security, bug fixes, and performance improvements.
Twitter, is that still a thing?
Yes, they're apparently preparing to deliver ads in the Android app, in which case I would stop using the Android app. SugarSync was updated, offering ICS support, folder sharing, and more. And this is one you and I have been waiting for. VLC for Android is now in beta. You can download
it.
I just love that noise.
That's just cool.
And if you are a fan of the game Minecraft, it has sold 1 million copies on Android.
Wow. I do not... Minecraft has got to be the single most popular game in the history of man, and I just don't get it.
I don't get a lot of things, but people seem to enjoy Minecraft.
Yep.
And we have a recommendation to you from the Door-to-Door Geek. Let me get that recommendation. I have the email right here. Let's
see. Terminal IDE.
Yes. Let's see. Where did I put that email? Yes. Here we are. Here we are. Here's the email. I will attempt to read it. I am the Door-to-Door Genie Geek, Alakazam. This might make Murph happy as well. Terminal IDE. Terminal IDE is a command line Java Android dev kit that runs on the device itself. Using a correctly configured Vim, Bash, and BusyBox in a custom terminal and custom keyboard environment, all these applications are put together so they interact correctly. A full terminal emulator plus custom ANSI keyboard ensure good Bash, Vim, and BusyBox emulation. All set up and ready to run in a non-root environment. Normal user permissions are enough to run all of this.
That's just straight sexy.
Yes. A few other emails while I'm reading emails. We got an email from Dennis. What was the security app that you mentioned in last week's episode, the one you installed before going to Italy that remote wipes using the website app? I thought I heard Serper Security, but I can't find it in the App Store. I wrote back to him and advised him that the app's name is Cerberus. That's Cerberus. I'm a big fan of it.
You know, that reminds me. A few weeks ago, I got a... we were talking about Google and how Google knows so much about you. And I made a comment that... excuse me one second. That there was a place that you could go in Google and find out how it had classified you.
Yes.
And then there was a Google Plus comment somewhere, and Pat was asking where that was.
Yeah,
I never responded.
I showed him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
For those of anybody else that would like to take a look, go to Google and search for Ads Preferences Manager. And when you get there, click on Ads on the Web in the navigation if it's not already selected. And you'll see a little subdiv there that says your categories. And it'll show you a couple categories. Those are not all of the categories that it has put you in. Click on the Remove or Edit, and you'll see the list of categories that it has put you in. And you'll have the opportunity to add categories or remove them as you want. But I have not changed any of these, and it just amazes me how accurate it is. But I wanted to share that.
Okay. Well, I promised a few weeks ago when you weren't on the show. You listened to that show, I'm sure, right?
I have not.
Okay, so...
I'm so scared to listen to it.
You know, next time you don't show up, I'm going to have to say something and see if you ever listen. Anyway, I was talking about Tasker versus Locale.
Yeah.
And I promised that next I would review Llama.
Is this a Winamp thing?
No. Llama is a location-based profile. So essentially, it's in the same category as Locale and Tasker, except one, it's completely free, and two, it's called Llama. So I've been testing Llama. And it puts a little llama in your notification bar. And you can program it so that based on different conditions, your llama changes color. So when I'm at work and I want my phone to be completely silent, the llama is red. But when I'm out on the go and I want to hear all of the things that my phone can do, the llama is green. The llama's been red a lot lately.
Interesting.
But basically, that's interesting. You hear that? I'm not answering.
Oh, you know what else? I'm sorry. Carry on.
I was going to talk about the llama a little more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, basically, the idea is that you set up areas. It uses cell phone towers in order to determine your area. You can tell it to learn. It'll pull the cell towers around a specific area. You tell it you'll be there for half an hour. It'll pull, using extra battery, those cell towers to try to map out the area and determine this is where work is, this is where home is, this is where... where's the place you're at a lot, Jerry?
Home and work are the same place for me.
No, I know, but what's a place you go to a lot that's not home or work?
I wouldn't call it a lot, but the next most frequently place I go is the gym.
Okay, so you could program it to know where the gym was, and it would do this based on cell towers. And then you can create conditions, again, similar to task or locale, based on certain other things. So when it's connected to Wi-Fi network A, it can do conditions, and then it can do actions based on those conditions.
The knowing where you are based on the tower is an interesting solution, considering that most location-based will need to use Wi-Fi or GPS, and that requires extra battery.
Well,
but your phone is already connected to a tower, so just querying what the tower is.
Yeah, so it isn't necessarily it's smart because it doesn't use much battery. There is the downside that it's not as accurate down to the meter, but most of the time you don't really need it to be.
Right.
So what I did was I set up two parameters, which is when I'm in the area known as work, which is where this, it texts the cell tower and the phone is connected to, there's a guest network at my place of business. So when the phone detects that guest network, it knows it's in the office building. But when it's surrounded by that area that it's detected as work, so it has two conditions. And if either of them are true, it mutes the phone. Now, I could do it the other way. I could make it so that if both of them were true, would be the only time it would mute the phone. So if I want to narrow down my house, I could say if I'm in the cell area known as my house and I'm connected to my home network, then I'm probably at home. So I can get more complex the same way Task can, but it is, in my opinion, a much simpler interface. And there are a lot of llamas in it.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, at the bottom of the screen, it mentions interesting llama facts.
Really?
Yes. You're not going to give it a shot, Jerry?
No.
But I need to be more organized, as I've mentioned. As I've been very busy working very hard, so I need to be more organized. So sometimes I forget to turn the ringer off on my phone when I go to work, and I like knowing that the phone knows it's at work and turns it off for me. I was so disorganized today that I went to work and forgot my pants.
Hmm.
Well, you know, these things happen.
Yeah.
You tired, Jerry?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so can I share something?
I love hearing you share, Jerry.
Have you heard of Box.com?
I have. They're a site that does storage similar to Dropbox and related sites.
Yeah. They are offering 50 gig of storage to Android users. As long as you activate Box.com on your Android phone before the end of March 23rd, you get 50 gig of storage forever.
So what do you think about this?
I'm not a big fan of it. I find it, if you want to share stuff, or if you want to have a place to store stuff on your phone or from your phone, that's kind of cool. But there are several limitations. One is, unlike Dropbox, there's no syncing unless you pay for it. You can't just have a folder on your drive and or on your home machine and it automatically syncs up. If they can do that, but then you get into a business account and it costs money. The other downside is there's a file size limit of 100 meg.
So no video.
Yeah, pretty much. No video, nothing. I mean, I guess you could RAR up your stuff. I mean, does GZIP do spans?
I think you could make it. If not, you could do GZIP with tar.
And so you could split a 1 gig file into a bunch of 100 meg files.
That's how a lot of backup sites do it.
It just seems like a lot of work, and I mean, it's a lot of storage for online. And if you're interested, it's box.com.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What is it they are suggesting you do with it? What are people actually doing with the 50 gigs with these limitations? I suppose you could do music, but there are plenty of better places to do that.
Well, they're saying that you can use it to send big files through email. Basically, you'll upload a file and you'll get a URL to it, and you can send that URL via email or.
I'm still upset.
I mean, if you're a business, they've got some interesting stuff. I mean, as far as collaboration and everybody accessing the same file, but
I think there are better ways to do that, though.
I agree.
But has anything else crossed your radar this week?
Sure. You were just saying something about something that made me think about this.
Which part? I said it was a busy week, that I was working very hard, that I was trying to get more organized, that I forgot my pants on my way to work today, and...
Wow, that'll just ruin your whole day.
Oh, it did. Have you ever gone into a store and told them that you wanted to buy a pair of pants and that you wanted to wear it out?
I do that with... I've done that with shoes.
No, I've done that with shoes, but this is the first time I've ever done it with pants.
Huh.
Well, I went to the gym.
What, were you like walking around in your underwear?
No, I go to the gym on Mondays. I forgot to bring my pants for work, and they really don't appreciate you showing up at gym clothes. It's an office.
That's, you know, why working at home is awesome.
Well, I've decided that I need emergency pants.
I understand. Well, no. You never know when something much more mundane could happen, like you spill coffee on your pants or something. You need backups.
Well, at one point, I worked at as a cashier, and I slipped and ripped my pants, and they wouldn't let me go home to change them. So I worked an entire shift as a cashier in a food place with ripped pants. They did give me an apron, though.
Whatever. That's just not nice people.
No, that's why I don't work there anymore.
Well, I ran across this thing, and you said something that brought it to the forefront of my attention.
Okay.
Or memory. And I don't know what it might be useful to for Android people, but you've seen those things where, you know, you can give it a date and it'll tell you something interesting that happened on that day.
This day in history type things.
Yeah. Now imagine that with numbers.
Okay.
Like, you give it 5 and it says it's the number of platonic solids.
Okay. What about 85?
85 is the IQ and the nickname of Aaron in Alien 3.
Okay. Are you going to do this every week?
No, there's a website for this. It's called numbersapi.com.
No, I'm just saying, why don't you do this every week? Every week you can tell us what the episode number means.
Ooh, that would be awesome. So what is this episode 85?
It is.
Cool. Yeah, let's do that.
Yes. Also, 85 is the year in which Back to the Future came out, where they spent a large percentage of the movie trying to get back to 1985. Have you seen that movie, Jerry?
I have.
I'm a big fan of it. I've been meaning to pull out my copy.
We could either do math or trivia.
How about both? Give me an 85 question.
Okay, 85. Let's do math. 85 is an octahedral number, a centered triangular number, a centered square number, a decagonal number, and a Smith number.
Okay. What's a Smith number?
I have no idea. Okay. 85 is the atomic number of astatine.
Never had any of that.
Interesting. Anyway, it's numbersapi.com. And you can, basically, they're offering it up. It'll work with JSON and JSONP. So it's a way to integrate cool stuff into your website.
Well, maybe you could write an Android app. Or do they already have one of those? That would tell you that.
No, they're just straight. It's just an API. They provide an API and that's it.
Well, no, maybe you could write an Android app that would give you a random number fact every day.
That would be cool.
Just remember, today's episode is brought to you by, what was it, astatine?
Yeah.
And the number 85.
85 is the product of two prime numbers, 5 and 17.
And the llama.
Therefore, a bi-prime.
Today's episode is also brought to you by the llama. Llamas are cool. No comment.
I gotta know, what the heck is a Smith number?
I'm curious myself.
A Smith number is a composite number for which, in a given base, the sum of its digits is equal to the sum of its digits in its prime factorization. For example, 378 is a Smith number because times 3 times 3 times 3 times 7. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a Smith number because that when you factor 378, you get 2 times 3 times 3 times 3 times 7. It's a Smith number since 3 plus 7 plus 8 is equal to 2 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 7.
And to think, I didn't become a mathematician.
I had a good reason for that. So let's think about this. The first Smith number is 4. So the sum of its digits, it's a single digit, so it's 4. And the sum of the digits in its prime factorization, that would be 2 times 2, right?
Yes.
So 2 plus 2 is 4. Okay. Interesting. It's a Smith number.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to next week's number. Maybe I should do my own segment. You know, you're a math and programming type person. Maybe I should do this day in Android history. I think I'd run out of things pretty quick, wouldn't I? There's not that much Android history.
You know, we make a lot of history these days.
I know. It goes very quickly. The world is a-changing. But it's been something of a slow news week. You know, I suppose we could talk more about privacy, but it honestly has been a rather slow news week, and we did run over last week, although the previous week we were short. But that was because I was, I had a 50% reduction in co-hosts. And
you had 100% reduction in co-hosts.
Oh, excuse me. There was a 50% reduction in hosts and a 100% reduction in co-hosts. We have to get our nomenclature correct. So we were 50% short because we were missing 100% of our co-hosts.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't going to bring it up. You brought it up.
Just cut it short today.
Okay, well, I have a few things to go over.
Okay, you go over those while I take a nap.
Okay, well, they're quick. If you'd like to contact us by phone, you can call us at 1-201-2-WENECA. That's WENECA. If you're interested in coming up with a catchy jingle to help people remember the phone number of our voicemail, you can call us and sing us your catchy jingle. You can also attach your file to a email and send it to us at podcast@androidbuffet or email us there. You can use the contact form on the website to contact us. You can go and you can circle Jerry over on Google+, or circle Android Buffet there, and Jerry, our Google+ page administrator, will take care of you. Isn't that right, Google+ page administrator?
I will. I'll be all over it, white on rice.
Yes.
Like
if you tweet
on a June bug.
If you tweet us at Android Buffet, I will take care of it because I keep an eye on that account. You can also tweet me over at Gadget Wisdom. You can visit my blog with all sorts of exciting random things that tend to interest me at gadgetwisdom.com. You can visit Jerry wherever Jerry's are found, or at jerry.jones@gmail.com. And of course, Jerry is also on Twitter, but he's never there anymore, so we won't even tell you about that anymore. If you're interested in tipping us, we offer a PayPal link in our tip jar section, as well as the opportunity to send us an Amazon gift card. Jerry promises that next time he will remember to spend his. We did appreciate the gift. I forget what I did with it. But the donations we have received to the PayPal account continue to fund the Weneca server account, which we use to provide this lovely streaming server, as well as the server that hosts our sites, as well as the costs of you downloading this episode. We don't ask for much. $1 here and there. Otherwise, remember, we're like PBS. You're under no obligation to contribute to us. We'll continue going until we run out of funding.
Which hasn't happened yet.
No. If you become a triple gold donator, though, we'll get you that free tote bag. I always feel like we should do a pledge drive. We just will talk about anything but Android until people give us money.
Well, okay, let's be honest. How much do we need money right now?
No, I was just kidding.
Okay.
I just always want to do a pledge drive. It sounds like fun. Anyway.
I always get worried that nobody will call. You'll just be sitting there with the phone, not doing anything.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do about that. In the meantime, we are also a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And I've been checking out some of their family-friendly podcasts. I was listening to a new one, which is Google at a Glance. No? No comment?
No.
Okay. Maybe we should invite those guys on. They talk about Google every week. They may dovetail very nicely into our conversation topic.
Interesting.
Well, I'm looking to invite more people on. I have to be prepared in the event that you don't show up to talk to somebody. Right. So I figure it's hedging my bets. And again, you brought it up first. So
I know. That's cool, Ben.
Okay. Anyway, that said, if you're interested in possibly being a guest on the Android Buffet podcast, feel free to write us at podcast@androidbuffet, or feel free to audition by sending us a voicemail. We love voicemails. We also accept YouTube videos, but we're an audio-only podcast, so that wouldn't really be helpful. We don't need to see you. We don't care what you look like. Do we, Jerry?
I don't need to.
Well, I don't think it enhances the show any for you to send us a video being as only we would see it. Although we'd probably put it in the show notes if it wasn't too graphic.
Graphic.
Yes. Remember, we are a family-friendly show. To a point. Speaking of which, we are also a project of the Winnica Media Group. You can check out more Winnica Media Group projects over at winnica.com, as well as, of course, our various sister sites. I'm sure you know them all, Jerry, so I won't repeat them right now.
Okay.
That brings us to the end of another program, a few minutes early. We'll be back next week with more. And in the meantime, now that the podcast is over, I think my llama will be green again.
Yay!
Go llamas.
Green llamas are better than purple llamas.
Well, you should check out Llamager. I think you'd like it. I know you like Tasker, but I think it gives Tasker a run for its money and the price is better.
Great. But I've already paid for Tasker.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have to pay for Llama.
Is there a plugin for Llama for changing my Google voice, the phones that it rings on?
I'll look. I know it definitely accepts locale plugins.
Okay, it's a locale plugin, so yeah.
Yeah, it's an experimental feature, but yes, they're working on support for locale plugins. And the developer, by reports, is very responsive, so I will see about suggesting it if it isn't in there, as I know that's a good feature worth getting involved in. And that brings us to the end of another episode. We'll be back next week. We hope you'll join us. Feel free to add to the conversation. We would love it if somebody in the chat room had a question, but we do enjoy their comments. Murph, I'm sorry you didn't join us this week. We will see you hopefully again soon. Agamotto, thank you for joining us as well. And
and for being so interesting in the chat room.
Yes, he should come again. And yeah, Young Droid, who left the podcast early, we're sorry you didn't stay on. We'll hopefully see you again soon. And remember,
you're just trying to drag this out till 11 o'clock. I know you are.
No, I'm trying to encourage people to come in because we'll say their name on the air as well. We'll talk to you. We will engage. We want to engage with our listeners. We know you're out there. We know that those of you in Europe are probably asleep by now, but if you're in a time zone that's conducive to it, feel free to show up. Or if it is 3 o'clock in the morning and you don't have work the next day, feel free to stop by. You're probably very interesting when sleep deprived. I know I am. Are you interesting when sleep deprived, Jerry?
No.
Okay.
I'm not ever interesting.
Okay, I'm not going to comment on that. I think you're interesting, or I wouldn't do this podcast with you. That brings us to the end of the episode. We will see you again next week.
Y'all have a good weekend. We'll see you weekend. Bye.
Bye.